it breaks your brain. Now think about that. When has a cheaper, safer, faster technology ever lost to a more expensive, unsafe, and a costly one? Never in history. It's a totally different economic model where consumers and businesses are winning instead of losing.
I thought we could move on to just some use cases of Bitcoin that maybe sure. people, you know, they might have heard of Bitcoin, but they don't really know in depth what it can be used for today, its value outside of just holding it, you know, as a store of value. And I know you've invested in lots of different businesses through Ego Dev Capital, maybe more outside of that. So I thought you could just take us through what you think is most valuable about it today and other use cases that you think will exist in the future.
So, and I think, and thanks, Ed. One of the things that we, most of what we've talked about today is Bitcoin on the primary layer, Bitcoin layer one, essentially being a store of value that can't be negotiated with. It's decentralized and secure, and it gets more decentralized and secure every single year. So that's like if you were buying Bitcoin and holding that in self-custody, that's like you having a piece of the new internet that's forming. And that means any value forevermore that the new internet is going to be delivering on top of that, you will gain a share of, essentially as prices everywhere fall to the marginal cost of production everywhere. So by owning that, what we've talked about so far is where you're playing. What I realized and why we talked a little about it on the last show with us, for protocols come in layers. And the first layer has to ossify, and it has to get harder and harder and harder and more resilient until a second layer can come on top of it and do something else. And so because we can't see that, it's a really hard thing to see where the most people were talking about Bitcoin versus all these altcoins, there were competitions for that first layer. And Bitcoin was the only thing that stood out that could be decentralized and secure. But then people would say, okay, well, all these other things, blockchain's going to be valuable for all these other things that are going to happen on these other layers. And I had a very different idea, just because protocols come in layers, and there's typically one protocol, not many competing protocols, that once Bitcoin was ossified on layer one, that a whole ecosystem would develop layer two, layer three, and it would become the new peer-to-peer internet. And that's what's happened. So about 2 years ago, we created Ego Death Capital. And Ego Death Capital is investing on top of layer two and three companies that are creating the new peer-to-peer internet. So now the transaction layer and a whole bunch of other things that are happening. And that is exploding in value. I invested and built companies in the .com area in early in the internet era. And what I saw there, kind of the most intelligent people I knew were flocking to this because of what you could create and break down monopoly structures in the old world and provide more value. That's what I'm seeing on top of Bitcoin now. I'm seeing I would say it's an order of magnitude greater than what the internet was because of what it delivers. And so I'll give you an example because some of these, it's early, but I'll give you an example in payments. So we're an investor in a company called Breeze, and Breeze does, they run an SDK on top for Lightning payments, software development on top of Lightning to make Lightning easier for all companies. And what, by doing so, they change an economic model in a couple of different ways. First, because of software development kit, you can literally turn on a non-custodial Bitcoin wallet for everybody immediately. And now that's interoperable with everything else. With liquidity, they have a liquidity service provider as part of it that you could actually, right now, in non-custodial Bitcoin, you could hold your own keys and get... It's not yield. It's they share the fees with you of what Lightning's creating. But there's lots of fees because there's so many tiny transactions and they're exploding. So those fees turn into right now, let's call it about a 5%, what it would be a 5% yield, but it's not yield. It's from fees that they share with people. and people have their own keys. So no risk to you actually losing your self-custody. It's still your custody. And now they share that with you. For the vendors, for all the vendors that are introducing payments, now the vendors, instead of taking 2.5% or 5% to Visa for every transaction, they can invert the model and they can say, we're going to create a win-win and we're going to pay you some of the fees because we're making fees on this. And we're going to pay you fees for selling to your customer. Right? It breaks your brain. Right. Because now make think about that. When has a cheaper, safer, faster technology ever lost to a more expensive, unsafe and a costly one? Never in history. So what you have now is an economic incentive that is totally changed from Visa has no way to stop that because it's a totally different economic model where consumers and businesses are winning instead of losing. And so it just, these types of models turn everything on their head. And we have many, many examples of that in our portfolio companies. Just really exciting. By the way, and they're growing like Ellen Markets, which we funded or which we wrote a term sheet in I think at beginning of September. In August, I think they did 20 million revenue in Bitcoin. That's their top line revenue in September, 54 million. And in October, 140 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So when people say nothing's happening here, it's growing faster than it's growing at the same rate as the internet. And some of the companies on top of it are growing faster.
And these are just the early adopters.
So you can imagine once those incentives are doing this, and a lot of these companies are hitting records already, and they're also almost profitable, and they're sharing the incentives in a totally different way. So what will that do to the market? Is it just a totally different game? I cannot believe that how big this opportunity is and how much fun we're having in this opportunity. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. And then just briefly, you mentioned Fediments, which are new to me. I was wondering if you could tell people about those as well.
Yeah. I'll do a really high level, but it's another layer on top of Bitcoin, and it uses, eCash. And what eCash is a blind signature trust. So everything's private on that system, but it uses Bitcoin, as on the bottom. And one of the big problems in Bitcoin it's not even a problem, but people think it's a problem. We're so used to trusting institutions with our money, even though those institutions are stealing our money. And I know stealing sounds bad, but it is stealing, right? Even though they're stealing our money, we're so used to that trust that we don't trust ourselves. And so self-custody in Bitcoin is a hard thing for people to get. And so they leave their money, they leave their Bitcoin on exchanges and the exchanges get hacked, even though they could do self-custody. So you have these almost two polar ends of the spectrum. Three, people who are scared of Bitcoin, people who go and trust exchanges, and then those exchanges lever their Bitcoin to be able to trade. And they essentially, they're selling their Bitcoin. So somebody's created counterparty risk by leaving it on an exchange, and exchanges like FTX or 100 others that are constantly blowing up are doing that. And then there's self-custody, which is secure. So Fedi on Fediment essentially takes the multi-signature technology where you could say three of five people unlock this, my Bitcoin. Right. Or five of seven or whatever. And they create guardians around those people. And so I could have a family federation and I could say any three of my five unlock my Bitcoin. What that means is I could have a digital now instead of a hard wallet type of model that if I lost my Bitcoin and my family's, oh yeah, it's Jeff, they could just reinstall my Bitcoin. Right. Because they become the guardians, but that model has really powerful, a whole bunch of different powerful, ideas tied to it. Because once you've created these essentially trust networks, that means, I could be, if I escaped from North Korea, right, and I could create a guardian relationship, and I could create three guardians or five guardians outside of North Korea. Somebody could put Fetty onto their phone in North Korea and have money completely outside of the system. I could transfer them in, into their wallet. They could delete their wallet, open up a wallet, have it back, right? And nobody could find out that I'm their guardian, right? Nobody could. So there's no way to stop. There's no way for authoritarian governments to stop their people from participating in a network. So in Fedi's example, or Fediment, and Fediment is the open source technology. Fedi is the company that's bringing this to market. So you can imagine what's happening with all the human rights groups all around the world starting to use this technology to bring freedom to their people, which is pretty incredible.
That's amazing, yeah. I mean, it's transforming the financial world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just quickly, final sort of question on Bitcoin. Ordinals, is that something you approve of? Or it's, I know it's...
So for me, it's not something we're investing in, and it's not something that that anything that's okay on the protocol, then obviously I'm okay with. But let's use that as an example and say, so instead of somebody buying Bitcoin, they're buying a JPEG, right? Or something like that on the Bitcoin blockchain. And now they're guessing that that's going to go up in value, right? Versus actually owning a piece of the internet. And so I just see things like that. I don't see any economic rationale long-term for some of these things working. So they're competing for space on the blockchain. They pay the same as a miner, right? The miners are competing for space, and all these transactions are competing for space, and it pushes up the fees, because people believe that one day these things will be valuable. And I tend to think of the things that'll be valuable on the Bitcoin. Now we're a layer down, right? On the Bitcoin, we're not layer two, we're on layer one. On the Bitcoin blockchain is, I think, anything that doesn't need an oracle, right? And with an oracle, I mean a third party.
Yeah.
If an ordinal or something like that, or something needs to be created on the blockchain to be able to aggregate power to a third party, it's not going to work, right? Those third party, I mean, it's not going to work economically. Those third party things like marketplaces and such will rise to be, they'll operate more efficiently on the second or third layer. They'll operate more efficiently on a federation of trust that's created that, and it's a lot less costly. Because if you're going to I would say that's just a way of saying they're just not interesting for me.
Yeah, and I've heard people say rather than the where it's been used at the moment, like JPEGs, potentially could be used for like ticketing. People buying ticketing for a ticket for events because it's, you know, uniquely identifiable.
So there's a perfect example, but that's an example that would probably live in a federation,
okay,
rather than on the base chain. And yeah, the reason why people don't see that yet is because it didn't exist until like Fedi and some of these newer level twos and threes came out to produce a better value, a better place for it to be.
Yeah.
So that's just how early we are. So I understand the debate. I understand why people are doing this, because they don't think it's going to be available somewhere else, so they're going to put it there. But just the economic rationale makes no sense. You're going to do it because if you don't do it the most cost effective, then someone else will.
I see that.
And they'll beat you.
Yeah. And then just moving on to the chapter from your book, essentially, which is related to AI and the future. I thought we should just quickly discuss what the future of intelligence is from your perspective.
Yeah. And I wrote in the book, and I was just like in that book, if you just read it again recently, you realize how did he know how fast AI would come? And like a lot of the things I described out of the financial system as a result of that are happening around us, and that book was written now 4 years ago, is because I was looking at it. AI has had the same rate of growth for 70 years, the exact same rate of growth. And why I use that paper folding example, fold once, fold twice, fold three times, fold four times, and most people will guess at 50 folds, it's a couple inches, but at 50 folds, it reaches to the sun, is because of what I talk about in AI. Because when you now compare those two things, I understand why in the 50s, one fold, two fold, three fold, people, oh, this is nothing. It's not moving. But it kept doubling and doubling and doubling and doubling and doubling. And now we're on fold 34 going to fold 35. And the steps are way bigger.
Yeah.
So now people are, where did that come from? Why is this moving so fast? What's going on? And by the way, even right now, 99.9% of the world are looking backwards. And fold 35 to fold 36, which doubles everything before it, is in a year and a half. It so breaks your brain. Same reason you underestimate the technology growth in 60s, 70s, 80s is the same, overestimate it there. Same reason you underestimate it now. And what's happening is it's so game changing. Now take that model today, or people are thinking this Riverside, what we're doing today is free, right? All of these other things are becoming free. And they're talking about the digital world. And this is going to quickly move into the physical world. And there's going to be robots that are going to be tied to all of this artificial intelligence that are going to do all the physical things too. Now, if you don't have a monetary system that is allowing that productivity to flow to you, that all of that AI, robotics, and everything else will be used against you. It'll be used to control you. It's that simple. You live in, you're driving a system where all that productivity flows to you, or it gets extracted from you. It is that simple. So where we are in this, I wrote in the book, I said, human intelligence is error correction, and our AIs are doing it faster than we can do it now.
Yeah.
And so it's replacing human intelligence, and that has profound implications in every single thing we do.
And I massively agree with the fact that people probably underestimate, well, I know they are, people, all over the place, people are underestimating how impactful the AI is, even right now. But my question would be, how quick do you think this is going to become a reality for people, that they're going to feel the effects of the value that's been created by these?
They're measuring, 99.9% of people on the planet are measuring it from the broken system. And that's why they're scared. And they're giving the broken system more power as a result of it. So I can tell you this, every price in my world fell by 42% last month. So that productivity is already flowing to people in Bitcoin. The question is it flowing to you?
Yeah.
And as more and more people move to that, and more people are paid in it and transferring around. So I spend a bunch in that as well. It is my primary currency. I think in Bitcoin terms. I don't think in other terms. And then as I spend more in it, I realize, okay, I'm making more in this. And if I'm creating more value than I'm extracting, right, then I'll make more. But the whole time along that journey, prices are falling in my world, whereas in most people's world, prices are rising really fast. So it's already happening. It's happening at an crazy rate. And the only way a different way of saying it, I'm already living in the future. And there's a whole bunch of people that are moving into already living in the future. And 99% of the world is trapped in the past, thinking that governments can save them from AI and making the big tech monopolies and governments stronger with the very same thing by allowing their money to be stolen.
Do you think that will persist? Do you think these big tech companies will benefit from this? Yeah. Manipulating the system, essentially.
So, and I want to be careful there. They're not manipulating the system. It's because money is manipulated right? That they extract the most wealth as a result of that manipulated money. The bigger company you are, the more wealth you extract, the more technology that you're driving in your company, more AI you're driving, the faster you're replacing wages with your artificial intelligence, and more people are you're delivering more value to society. So they're using your thing faster. And if you didn't extract the wages as fast, then your competitor would.
Yeah.
Right. And no one would use your thing. So there's a race, but the whole race is we're on a broken system. All of our actions are making it stronger.
Yeah. And in this world of the future, will people work anymore? Like, we're talking a long point down the line, and, you know, with robotics and everything that's advancing.
So that's why I want to be careful of the light switch moment, because what fears is so, but I'll answer it. And then I'll say, would you rather the choice of whether you wanted to work and everything was free, or you had to work and everything was expensive? It's the only thing we're talking about. So as things get progressively more abundant, I suspect if industries go away because they can go away, and there's these big fat monopolies that full of margins, I bet you the entrepreneurs that are leaving those other industries and now have time on their hand will attack those industries like crazy, right? Because you'll be able to bring so much more value and get delivered value. And as that continues to transition, it just keeps on accelerating. Here's a different way of saying this, and maybe a better, longer-term example of saying this. For a long time, our world didn't move very fast because you had concentrated control and peasants throughout society delivering everything. Same thing, same type of model. The printing press opened up more brains collected that wouldn't have been seen before that now could get recognized. Those brains, like John von Neumann, like Einstein, like Popper, like thousands of brains that never would have been seen before, like Maxwell, are responsible, even though we don't know they're responsible, for our way of life today. And they would have never been found. Where we're going on Bitcoin is opening up 8 billion brains that will be responsible for where we're going versus very few at the top controlling everything else.
So people will have the time and flexibility to work on the things
that whatever they want.
Entrepreneurial.
Exactly. Whatever they want. They'll work at, or they'll work for the companies that they think are more entrepreneurial, or yeah, they'll work. Yeah. And, or they won't have to work 60 hours a year of their entire life to be able to retire for 10 years.
Yeah,
and think that's success.
Yeah,
and think it looks like that only because they've been having their economic wages stolen that entire time at that rate.
It's been wonderful to go through this, and I'm delighted to announce that we actually at Opto we're doing a competition. We've got 5 signed books from Jeff. The Price of Tomorrow: Why Deflation is Key to an Abundant Future. And all you have to do is to enter the competition is follow Opto Themes and Jeff Booth on X. And if you leave a comment on the pinned post at the top of the feed on Opto Themes, just telling us about what innovation you're most excited about in the future, we'll enter you into the competition. And for a bonus, you can also do the same on YouTube. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks a bunch.
See ya.
See ya.